Welcome back. You're listening to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority. We're talking about tourism today, and now on the line we are joined by the Honorable Ida Chong, MLA, Oak Bay Gordon Head, and Minister of Community, Sport, and Cultural Development. Madam Minister, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. I'm happy to be here.
Start off. I mean, I know that you're not the Minister of Tourism, so we're not going to be putting you on the spot. We'll wait to the local part, and as an MLA, then we'll put you on the spot. let's talk about Tourism BC.
Sure.
You know, back just before the Olympics, it was suddenly dismantled, and the functions were brought within the provincial government. Industry was very shocked by that, very surprised, and certainly didn't like it. And I think there was at the time there was a dearth of information coming back from government as to, you know, why the move had been made. We don't need to revisit history, but when we look at the 2012 budget from your government, there's a lot of hints dropped in there that some sort of Tourism BC entity or function is going to be restored. Can you chat about that at all? Or
sure, I can. I've been, you know, hearing from Minister Pat Bell, who is the Minister of Tourism, as to, you know, some progress updates on what's happening. He hasn't brought anything final to our cabinet or not yet, but I know he is working on it. And I think what happened, you know, again, not to go over the decision, but you know, it's I think wise at times to take a look at structures that are set up, entities that we have, and see if they're working as well as they are. And I think it had been a while since Tourism BC had been looked at. And, you know, while it was providing really a good service, we were also hearing that there could be improvements that were made. So the decision was made at the time by the then minister and the staff was to bring it into government. And since that time, and since Minister Pat Bell has been the tourism minister, I know he has been speaking to industry stakeholders, the tourism industry, and say, how can we make this better? Given what happened in 2008 with recession and tourism dollars are really scarce all around, you know, the world, and, you know, people are wanting to stay at home, we need to find a new way, a new model that was going to work better for the industry, because they, in a large part, are helping to fund tourism by, you know, in their own areas with their marketing dollars and that. And so we want to be able to use the provincial marketing dollars as well to augment what they're doing and provide better accountability, because we were still hearing some sectors of the tourism industry did not feel a part of that. And I believe that is what's happening, and Minister Pat Bell will be bringing something formal to us and how it should be set up going forward.
Okay. Are there, you know, timelines for that? Is this an announcement we can expect to see before the next election?
Again, I can't speculate on it, but I know he has been working on it, and I would suspect they would be looking at something, you know, fairly soon. But again, it depends on the consultations he's had. If the task force that he set up, I believe he has set up a task force, is not ready to put all the, you know, the bells and whistles on it, they may not wish to yet announce it. But as I say, it is about making sure that we find our tourism markets where we need to. And as I say, a lot has happened since 2010. You know, the approved destination status has happened, where we are marketing more heavily now in China than ever before. That's different than what it was in, you know, the early 2000s. We, I think, also put in this machine, I understand, in San Francisco. Pat Bell was talking about this, where we're trying to market to our American tourism. There are other marketing initiatives underway called 100 BC Moments, again, where we're highlighting some of the best places to be around BC. So I know different things are happening, and I think that is going to also be incorporated into this new entity and say, if these are the kinds of new programs, this is the kinds of things we have to look at innovatively going forward, and not just set up a structure and then government walk away and leave it alone. I think that's going to be very valuable going forward.
Well, you know, sort of a stupid question on my part. Gee, Bob, do you expect the government to make a decision before the next election? Duh. Anyways, I'll turn you over to John Jurisic. He has some questions for you.
Hi, Ida. How are you?
Good, John.
Incidentally, you were the only MLA we could get on this morning. Very much appreciated that you could spend time with us.
Not a problem.
So Tourism BC and that discussion is really in my my thinking about how all of us help to build this industry. Let's go more local, if I may. And as opposed to sitting here asking you, what are you going to do for us? How about we turn the tables a little bit? We've had a Belleville terminal discussion for better part of 25 years. There's some outstanding new owners of the Coho Ferry, folks who very much want to develop American tourists and bring them here. How can business, how can the community, how can we help government make this happen and turn Belleville Terminal into this fabulous development that attracts tourists?
I think that's a really great question, especially as a local MLA. I have been watching Belleville Terminal and its iterations, I guess, over the last number of years. Things have started, then have stalled, and then discussions have began and then gone nowhere. And I really do think it still is possible that we bring in the right people together and talk about what is envisioned for that area. Now with the CPR building having just been refurbished, and there's, you know, some new interest in that whole section, I think it is possible to find out what we want to see developed. We want the city to engage as well with us as to what they want, because if there are any changes that to me that require any kind of variances, they very much will be involved in zoning and therefore very much be involved in getting the neighborhood community association involved as well. But I think it is important to note that the Provincial Capital Commission, which actually acquired the sort of management stewardship of the terminal, was back in, I think, 2001. You know, its priority has been dealing with maintaining the operations, the safety and security requirements. That is first and foremost. When we get to the envisioning of the development, that's where I will be speaking with Pat Bell, the Minister of Tourism and Economic Development, in the sense, and say, how can we see this go forward? And I can tell you, since we both became ministers of these new portfolios in March, we have had, March of last year, we've had discussions, and I've indicated to him that we needed to put some more thought into how we treat the Belleville Terminal. But it has had some investments. I'm not going to suggest that it's been completely left without consideration. We will continue to make sure, as I say, the safety operations are there, the security is there, because that's important for that as an entryway into Victoria in particular. But there have been so many ideas, and sometimes it's strange. Everyone thinks an idea looks great, and it floats, or it gets floated out there, and then all of a sudden we hear from people who said, boy, we've really missed the boat on this one, not to give you a pun on it. But everyone has ideas on what they think it should happen there. But I still believe there is an opportunity, and I'm very keen on seeing that happen. I would love to say that we'll have something by, you know, in the next few months, but that's just not possible, because there are so many stakeholders, so many interested parties, so many considerations we have to take in. But I know there has been enough studies that we can pull from some of that, and we don't have to start with a fresh blank page. We actually have some documents that we can work from.
Ida, we've got Rob Giroletto in the CEO with us. I think he has a question for you.
Sure.
Ida, good to hear from you. How are you?
Great. Thanks, Rob.
I was just wondering, you know, we talk about, just to follow up on John's theme, about the fact that we look to government for so much. And what do you think is the best way to actually just engage a minister? So if there's a business group that wants to talk to you about something, perhaps a need for the community or a need for something that they feel is valuable, how do you like to be engaged? What's the most successful and effective way to engage someone like yourself?
Well, right now, as you know, our Premier Christy Clark, has had a very strong focus on jobs, and because jobs are the backbone that helps support our families, which makes our community stronger and gives everyone a better quality of life. And if everybody feels good about where they're living, everybody works that much more to make sure we continue to have that. And making sure that we have jobs in the tourism industry is important as well. So, you know, it's not about just developing a nice area for local residents to enjoy. It is about, you know, that is part of it. But if it's going to be an attraction, and we have to take a look at what the tourists want, we also have to make sure it's economically viable. And governments, or our government in particular, is like taking a look at partnerships and say, where is the economic upside of this? How many jobs will it create, not just in the construction, if there is to be construction, but what will it create long term, and what sustainable jobs will be there, and what kind of industries will be able to be benefiting from it? Obviously tourism businesses, and what kind of dollars will that bring in, and therefore pay back? Because any time there's capital infrastructures, you know, sometimes it's out of necessity, like hospitals and schools, but other times we're asked to help fund convention centers and airports and, you you know, certain roadway changes because it makes better economic sense and will bring more people in and help create jobs. So if that's our focus, I mean, we want to see the business case that also shows that there will be a good return and a way to increase tourism. If we are missing something significantly, we have to address that. And sometimes it's hard to know because we may have reached our saturation point. Will, you know, an investment of $30 million bring in any more than an investment of $5 million, for example? That has to be also, I think, considered.
Yeah. Well, you just have to take a quick commercial break, Ida. We'll be back with you in a few minutes.
Hi, Jeffrey here from Barclays Fine Custom Jewelers. Ron came to visit us with a ring that had belonged to his father. We resized the ring and restored it back to its original condition. Ron was astounded at the finished ring, and he has moved to think that he now has both a family heirloom which connects him to his father and a piece he can now pass down to his own family one day.
When you want to restore a piece of treasured family jewelry, trust Barclays. Visit them in Oak Bay Village or online at barclaysjewelers.com to learn more about their services and to see Ron's restored ring.
You were right. Kayaking is excellent.
You know what else is great? That whale.
What?
Don't panic. It's way the heck out there. You'll be fine. Sorry, dude.
I'm good. I'm all good. No worries.
Some things are closer than you think, like the JBI Pub and Restaurant at the James Bay Inn. Come by for breakfast, lunch, or dinner and experience great homestyle cooking with fresh ingredients made from scratch. The JBI Pub and Restaurant at the James Bay Inn. Really good. Really close. Corner of Government and Toronto.
As summer comes to an end, remember, the only safe place for your pool chemicals is in your pool. Old pool chemicals can be dangerous around your home and in the landfill, so be sure to properly dispose of them. Heartland's hazardous waste area accepts many items, including leftover pool chemicals. When you're heading to the Heartland landfill, avoid fines by remembering to cover and secure your load so it can't escape and litter our natural environment. Handle with care and get it all there. A message from the CRD.
In Victoria, we love our active lifestyle. From live music and theater to exciting local sports to special events to fundraisers and still more. So when you want to know all your activity options, listen for what's happening. We're everywhere around town in the CFAX Community Cruiser, letting you know who, what, when, where, and why. The CFAX Community Cruiser, it's all about our city's true spirit. Brought to you by Windsor Plywood, Mini Victoria, and CFAX 1070.
When the cat's away.
At Camino Carpet, the boss is away. So the staff is at play with their no HST sale. Choose in-stock carpet or Lionel Rollins and pay no HST. A further savings of 12% on Camino's already low prices. And you can have your choice of in-stock flooring installed within 1 week guaranteed. Camino Carpets is more than just carpet. They carry a large selection of engineered hardwood, laminate, and stylish vinyl planking. For selection and value, Camino Carpets is the right choice. 3950 Quadra Street across from Lumber World.
CFAX 1070 puts Victoria first with complete coverage of local news, weather, and traffic when you need to know. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Welcome back to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070. We're talking to the Honorable Ida Chong, MLA, Oak Bay, Gordon Head, Minister of Community, Sport, and Cultural Development. You know, we've gone over some general topics, Ida. Again, thank you for joining us on the show. I think John maybe wants to get a little more specific. John?
Thanks, Bob. Hi, Ida. I'd like to chat about the PCC, the Provincial Capital Commission. What is it? Where did that come from? What is its status? It got a lot of play around the CPR building. It manages properties directly impacted by impacting tourism. Talk to us about that. Let's go into some detail over the value of the PCC to our community.
Okay, and some people don't really fully understand the Provincial Capital Commission, and there are these capital commissions right across Canada, and I can tell you that I have about 8 months ago, had my staff take a look at all these provincial capital commissions right across Canada, and I can tell you, no two are alike. Mm-hmm. Everyone is different. So when people say, oh, well, we need to be like other provincial capital commissions, well, unfortunately, there isn't one model that we can take a look at. Everyone is different, and there have been some have actually have been disbanded, and some have been rolled directly back into government. Here in British Columbia, when it was originally established back in 1956, in my recollection, is that the Capital Commission Act established the Provincial Capital Commission to take a look at the, I guess, the access points to the provincial capital to ensure that local governments' boundaries were also making sure that it was seamless, that people coming to the provincial capital didn't necessarily see, you know, one area of the capital region differently than the others, and to beautify the capital region, to make sure we have a great tourism market or marketability. That was in 1956. Things have changed so much, and very much the access points and things have been considered, and the beautification, such as the Galloping Goose, have been done. And so a number of years ago, our government asked them to really focus on what provincial capital means to citizens, and that is to connect people to the capital, to connect and celebrate the capital with all British Columbians. And that focus has been about outreach, bringing especially young people to the capital and letting them see this is where your tax dollars are spent and this is your provincial capital, the buildings and the legislature and other major points as well. So, as I say, it no longer needs to really manage properties in the same sense, but they did derive their income from the management of properties. Within government, we have a management property division. And so back a few months ago, we did ask for the changes to be done where we restructured the Provincial Capital Commission, where they could focus on the celebration of the capital and the community outreach, and we would have the property management side being undertaken by the Shared Services Division of the Ministry of Labor Citizen Services. So that essentially, I think, is the real change that is being made. Still being the minister, I have contact with the Provincial Capital Commission. I'm in regular contact with them as to what their needs are and how they will be able to, as I say, connect the capital with our citizens. But in terms of the properties, we really have to take a look at and marketing those in a way that if they're to be useful for tourism, that they are used for that benefit. Does that help?
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. It does. So Ida, if I'm hearing you correctly, are you saying that currently the PCC, their one major mandate is the Provincial Community Outreach Program, or are they still involved in some other things beyond that one program?
That is their primary focus, is to connect and celebrate the capital with all British Columbians. So, you know, and they were doing that, but they were also spending time managing properties, collecting rents, making sure their tenants were happy. And I don't know if people expect, you know, that's what they should be doing. So if they've leased out a building, for example, like the Crystal Gardens is leased out to the City of Victoria, for example, the City of Victoria will decide how they use the building, and what we are just receiving is the rents. I shouldn't guess, but that's the rents we receive from them, and if they have any other sort of landlord-tenant issues, that's what the PCC were spending some time on. And so we're saying, do you need to spend time on that? You've got the dollars. Spend the dollars on outreach. We've got people within our government that do nothing but talk landlord-tenant issues and have them do that. And we've calculated the savings, maybe not significant, but I think significant enough, almost up to about $180,000 we can save by doing that.
So is the province still looking at the PCC for the future, what its model is going to be, and are there more potential changes coming there, or are you kind of status quo for the next little while?
I would say it will be status quo for the next little while we're in this discussion point with them. If this change has just recently, happened in the last, 12 months, shall we say, where we've taken on the responsibilities, in fact, the last 6 months, where we've taken on the responsibilities of the management of the properties. The CPR building, which is also managed by primarily managed and is managed through the PCC, has just got a new tenant, which is, the Harbour Authority, the Victoria and Greater Victoria Harbour Authority. We'll be taking a look at how, they change the, the use of that building, how the public can access that building. So there still is an involvement with them, but as I say, with a straight sort of landlord-tenant operations, that can be handled within government. But the PCC still has a board and still is mandated to continue to do outreach.
Ida, John here. So many of the properties, the discussions we've had are easy to put into a legislative precinct type of category.
Government center.
The steamship building, Belleville, Crystal Gardens. Talk to us about the huts behind the legislature. There's been discussion amongst the different business organizations around and the city. How can we develop those lands? Develop them in such a way as to help build our tourism industry, build attractions. Can you give us some update as to what's happening behind there in the context of a legislative precinct vision?
I wish I could give you, I guess, more detail as to what's happening, and unfortunately, I can't this morning simply because. Those are discussions that are, I think, are still ongoing, and that would be through the Ministry of Tourism. But as well, because it is the legislative precinct, the Speaker's office has some say as well as, to ensure that anything of historic value has to be considered. Any change that we make do not materially affect the legislature as a whole. So those are discussions that continue to take place. I know there have been thoughts, in the past on what needs to be done, and, people do wonder why there is so much land that is not developed behind the precinct. But then you also have an association, a community association, who want to say in, well, if you do redevelop it, how will this change the viewscapes and how will this affect the operations of the neighborhood. If it's about tourism attractions, that's one thing. If it's about large office buildings, that creates another concern that people have.
Yeah.
So I know those discussions are happening, and again, I'm unfortunate I'm not privy to share with you all the details on it, but I do know that it is...
people are talking about it.
We are talking about it.
Okay. Rob, you had a question?
I did. Just, leave it to me to go back just to tourism for a second. sort of ingrained in my
How
blood.
How unusual.
I know.
Everything's about...
I'm getting therapy. I'm working through it. But I was just curious what your thoughts were overall from a provincial perspective. Obviously, the province matters to Victoria. The traffic that goes into Vancouver as a gateway, as well as Seattle, of course, matters to Victoria. But what are your thoughts? I mean, we had, the Olympics in 2010. We saw what I believe is starting to see a bit of a retarded sort of spike from that because of the recession that sort of delayed that piece. But what have you seen, what are you hearing over the last year or so about tourism, about economic impact from tourism, job creation from tourism, the good and the bad?
Well, I know our tourism dollars did dip, in the past, and that was because of the recession. And that happened in 08, 09. But then with the Olympics, we certainly got the bounce that we needed. But it didn't, it didn't improve as much, I think, as everybody had hoped. But I think the numbers are still coming in. And I think in Victoria in particular, from what I'm understanding, the numbers are better in August this year than they were last year. Weather has a lot to do with it as well, as we all know. People make decisions based on that. But I do believe that the focus that we can have needs to change. As I say, with China being an approved destination status, that we are now accessing that market, we have to get back to the States. We had issues with visa problems with Mexico and Mexican tourism. That was a big issue. Changes have been made there. We are making sure that our trade investment offices around, the various jurisdictions that we have globally know about, the British Columbia, and not just a place to invest, but also as a place to visit. In my ministry, I have sport and I have arts and culture that I deal with, and I think that has a huge impact and can have a huge impact on tourism. You know that we are putting in a bid to have the Junos come here in 2014. I'm taking a look at major, large sporting international events. We're having the World Women's Soccer coming to Vancouver in 2015. We just recently had the Grey Cup, which brought in $100 million for that weekend. There are ways to bring in the tourism dollars nationally and internationally. We need to find what works for us here in British Columbia and make sure that we build on it. And the Olympics was a good launching pad for that. And we will continue to take a look at, and I will in my area of portfolio, make sure that we do take that benefit.
Yep. Ida, we have to take a commercial break, but before we do, I want to thank you for taking 30 minutes out of your Sunday morning to talk to us about these issues, and hope you have a good day.
Okay, my pleasure. Thanks for asking me.
Take care.
Thank you.
Right now, Jill is wailing on her guitar. But a year ago, it was just a dream.
Then she started building her rebate at Peninsula Co-op. Fuel for the car, coffee at the convenience store, visits to the touchless car wash. And when she got her rebate check, she made that guitar hers. Maybe next year's rebate will pay for lessons. Peninsula Co-op members got 5 cents per liter on all fuel purchases last year. Visit your local co-op today.
Stop, stop, fill it up at your co-op. Moving ahead, I can't get back.
CFAX 1070 is proud of its community involvement, and golf tournaments are a great way to help raise funds for important community causes. So tee it up and let it fly at these upcoming events.
Cowichan Canadian Tire tee off for the Tour Golf Tournament is Tuesday, September 18th at Cowichan Golf and Country Club. Register for a day of golf, barbecue, lunch, dinner, an auction, and more, all in support of Tour de Rock.
Find out more at CFAX1070.com. CFAX 1070, involved and committed to our community.
He used to be an Air Force man. Now he picks up junk and sends it on a permanent vacation.
See ya!
He's Pete of Pete's Holiday, specializing in estate cleanups and same-day junk removal. A recycling-friendly company, 15 years in business. Let Pete's haul your junk to the dump. Call Pete's Holiday today at 888-1221 or click online 911junk.com.
Summertime is fun time. It's hard not to overindulge. Sweets, sodas, processed foods. But when too much hits your system, gas, bloating, poor digestion, this is fun? Protect yourself. Take Ultimate Flora Critical Care, a therapeutic probiotic that can help improve digestion and fight bad bacteria. Find Ultimate Flora Critical Care at Lifestyle Markets on Douglas Street in Cook Street Village and on Fifth Street in Sydney. This product may not be right for you. Always read and follow the label.
I will be the next Space Elf champion.
Tuesday on Space.
Follow me.
Join 14 master makeup artists.
You need to prove yourself to the nation.
In the ultimate battle.
I have a goal, which is to win every single challenge.
Of imagination.
I have one thing to say about it. Spectacular.
Who will be the next big name in movie makeup and special effects?
All right, guys, time's up.
Face Off, the hit series, returns Tuesday at 6.
This all starts now.
On Space. No limits.
Whether it's Snowmageddon, Windpocalypse, or a boringly nice day, weather you can count on. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Welcome back to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority. Got a half an hour. I've got John Jurisic and Rob Giroletto in the studio, and we're just going to maybe talk a little bit about some of the things we touched on today and have a little discussion. I guess the first thing I'd like to go to is the notion, well, it seems pretty clear that the government is going to bring back Tourism BC, whether it's Tourism BC, what it looked like before, or something different, I think is a very interesting question. There's no question that something's coming back, but I guess what I find interesting about what it will look like is that's very political. I mean, if it comes back looking exactly like it looked when it was dismantled, well, that kind of says, gee, we made a big mistake. Now, a new premier might want to make that statement, but maybe she doesn't have the capital that she had a year and a half ago when she became leader to make that statement, because now maybe her caucus is going to say, gee, if you go do that and try to say, hey, this government before, you know, made a mistake, there's a new sheriff in town, it makes us look bad. So I guess I'd ask you guys, what do you think is going to happen here? And from a political point of view, I mean, that was a pretty significant constituency for this government that, you know, they got quite angry when they did what they did. And you know, you got to maybe – and you know, we're an election less than a year away, and a nice piece of red meat to throw to that constituency would be a good thing. How do they do that?
It's an interesting question because you identify the political aspect, and then there's also the basic good business and economic impact aspect. Certainly, I remember exactly where I was when that day happened. It was just over 3 years ago, actually. And I think it came without notice, which is unfortunately common, these types of things. And we saw in Alberta as well as in BC. And I don't believe you're going to see a new provincial marketing organization that's the same as what we've seen before. And I think that may be the answer to the question, is that we're just trying to find a better way. And to the government, to the province's credit, they've been working with a task force which is purely representative of industry, and they've been working long and hard, and there's been some representation from Victoria on that task force. And they have taken all that in, and they're trying to take the business case scenario that's been presented to them by the industry about what works best for industry, and try to sort of balance that with some of the political hurdles that they're going to have to cross when they go to the House. So it's not easy whatsoever, but at least the government's stepping forward and engaging, and hopefully will take a step in that right direction. Because as you know, tourism alone produces over $1 billion in tax revenue for the government. So they get it, and they understand that there's a need to have it healthy.
Well, one thing, though, you know, at the time when Tourism BC disappeared, became part of the government, all we heard from the industry was, this thing works amazingly. This is fantastic. This is a model, you know, for other countries, other jurisdictions copy. That was the refrain. Now you're telling me that, no, it could have been better. That it's quite possible that the government is coming forward with in the manner in which they're doing it, the process that they followed, talking to the industry, that there's actually the possibility of having a new improved model. I mean, it sort of goes to what Minister Chong said when she said, well, we thought we'd take a look at it and see if we could make some improvements. And is that, in fact, what's happening?
Well, I think that's what the minister's saying. As part of industry, I would tell you that model worked great. I mean, the Crown Corporation was looked upon all over the world as a best practice model. Yeah. And certainly looking across the border from Alberta where I was, I looked with envy many a time. Mm-hmm. What I think from a government perspective, they'll look about how was the accountability from that Crown Corporation to government, which is something that every government would look at because there's dollars involved and they have that.
I can tell you how accountability works with Crown Corporations. And when they do something well, they get the credit. When they mess up, the minister gets asked questions in the House.
There you go. So I think that accountability piece is important for any government, and this is no exception. From a consumer perspective, that organization had great success, had wonderful, exceptional visionary leadership in Rod Harris. And now those days are gone. So we have to look forward to the future about what the next 3, 5, 10 years is going to look like from a provincial marketing perspective.
Okay, Bob, let's call a spade here. We all know why Tourism BC was dismantled. Gordon Campbell wanted more control over the Olympic message. Come on. And let's just call it like it is.
Well, that's your theory, John.
Okay, so and now we're in a post-Olympic environment. We're in a pre-election environment. What is the political capital to be gained by a premier struggling in the polls?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so is that what we're really talking about here? Because I agree with you, Rob. A Tourism BC is and a provincial vision is absolutely necessary. Our Curtis mentioned we need vision, we need collaboration. If it comes from a larger vision and then seeps down to the various local organizations, that can only help our message across the world.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is this politically a good thing or not for Christy Clark? Why don't you answer that for me?
Well, I guess, you know, I subscribe to the theory that if you focus on doing things well and in a proper fashion and providing good government, you don't have to do what this government's going to have to do for the next 8 months and think about how they win the next election. And it's the dilemma in public policy. It's a dilemma not for politicians, but whether or not you get what you want is what is needed, whether you get good policy and programs in an election year. You're certainly going to get them. I mean, there are going to be announcements between now and the next election. But, you know, this is one major decision that's going to be made, one major announcement has come forward. And I don't know. I mean, I feel a lot more comfortable in a government initiative when it happens in the first year of their mandate than when it happens in their last year of their mandate, particularly when they're trailing in the polls.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the political aspect is very interesting to talk about, but at the end of the day, you can structure your way only so far.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it's the people that are going to matter. So who are the leaders of provincial tourism at that level? Who are they going to be? What's that board of directors or whatever that group's going to be called? Who are they going to be? And how are they going to intersect with government? Because there is no jurisdiction in this planet that doesn't have government as the key or a key stakeholder in tourism marketing, tourism development, and product development. It's just absolutely the way it works in the world. It doesn't matter what kind of country you are. And so how do we engage and how do we work together? That sounds so sort of kumbayaish, but really, who's going to be the face and the leader for our provincial tourism? Because it's that kind of visionary, that kind of inspiration that gets all of us to be more focus. You know, we talk about funding, and we can talk a little about funding, but there's a lot of funding spread out through this province in the 35 plus DM destination marketing organizations out there, plus all the operators and so on. How is it focused? Is it being spent redundantly, or do we have gaps? And really, that's where the province should step in and take a good hard look. So there's lots of work to be done. Who's going to lead it?
As a small business person who's been involved with private sector initiatives since early 80s, this is my fifth recession that I've been involved with.
You may be the problem.
I was just going to say, are you taking responsibility for any of those, John?
There's one common thread to the past four. Yeah. They all end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this one will end. And so while we're mucking about trying to find a way to get out of this, new business processes arise. New paradigms arise. New way of looking at things arise. So when, there could be enormous political motivation with regard to Tourism BC and how it works. But as I support what Rob is saying, if we can find ways to promote our tourism industry and that becomes Tourism BC with representatives locally, then good. Let's do that.
Mm-hmm. And, the province is one key stakeholder, but Tourism Victoria as an entity works quite closely with Tourism Vancouver, with Whistler, with Tourism Vancouver Island. Because you know what? At the end of the day, and Tourism Victoria as an entity is going through a 3-year strategic planning process now that we'll implement it starting in January. And we talk about being consumer-focused, and we talk about what that means. What it really means is that everything that we do has to be based on the people that may want to come here or influence people that come here. So our consumers are not just those travelers, but it's that travel agent. It's that travel writer. It's that meeting planner. And everything we do and everything everyone does should be geared towards those folks on our messaging. And we need to be way more consumer-focused, I believe, across the board, and Victoria included.
Well, on the issue of coordination that you got to and the role for the provincial government – what happens now? I mean, you're sitting there, CEO of Tourism Victoria. Obviously, what your counterparts in other cities in this province are doing is of relevance and importance. How do you know what they're doing? I mean, you guys just chat every once in a while? Or, I mean, is there any type of informal entity that exists where you can sit together and sort of, talk about your messaging and how it could be more effective if it was coordinated? I mean, in the absence of a provincial agency to do that or a provincial government to bring you to the table to do that, how does it happen?
First of all, we're a pretty resilient group. I mean, if one door closes, you find those other ones to go through. But again, we actually just met, Vancouver, Whistler, and Victoria just met in the offices of Tourism BC in Vancouver with Grant McKay, who's the assistant deputy minister there. So we had a good conversation. It was scheduled for two. It was 4 hours long. Mm-hmm. We still get to do those things. In a wider spectrum, we have a group called the BC Destination Marketing Organization Association, and that's, 30-some groups all across the province. We'll meet twice a year and share things and share challenges and successes. So we do a lot of sharing and there's a lot of good information there.
Okay. We have to take a brief commercial break. When we come back, we're going to maybe change our focus to something a little more local.
Level Ground Trading. Local, direct, delicious.
What does being local mean to you? My name is Stacey Taves, and I co-founded Level Ground Trading 15 years ago. We embody what it means to be local. We're a zero-waste facility, sending nothing to Heartland, utilizing 13 streams of recycling and compost. We pay our staff to cycle to work on the peninsula, and we sponsor hundreds of local nonprofit groups each year. That's what being local means to me.
Get to know more about us online. Visit Level Ground Trading on Facebook or levelground.com.
20 years into the future.
Can't believe we're still living with your parents.
On the bright side, the rent's okay.
Why didn't you listen to Ron at RE/MAX?
Ron Neal?
Yes, Ron Neal, back in 2012, when he said rates were low, prices were down, there were lots to choose from, and it was the perfect time to buy.
Time travel isn't possible, but long-term thinking is. Secure your future. Click on RonNeal.com today.
Call the Neal Estate team for your real estate dream. RonNeal.com.
Okay, kids. Old Mr. Gailey had a farm.
E-I-E-I-O.
And on this farm we had a scavenger hunt.
E-I-E-I-O.
With lots of prizes here in the corn maze over there. Found one, another one, lots of fun in the sun. Old Mr. Gailey had a scavenger hunt. 4150 Blenkinsop Road.
Summer fun is on now at Gailey Farms, proudly supported by CFAX 1070.
Come on and roar, you Lions, roar!
Vera's Burgers BC Lions Football.
Brought to you by Dumont Tirecraft and Irwin Industries.
Today, the BC Lions are back for their bye week as Green Nation comes to town. Lions, Riders at BC Place, kickoff at 4.
Right here on CFAX 1070.
Join Rick Ball and Julio Garavetta for Vera's Burgers BC Lions Football on the Lions Radio Network all season long.
Need cash today? Got some old jewelry lying around? Bring it to Old and Gold and exchange it for cash. For your old gold and silver, they'll beat any price in town. Old and Gold at Ford and Douglas. Online at goldvictoria.com.
Need cash today? Got some gold, DVDs, bikes, cameras, video games, and tools? You know, stuff lying around? Bring it into Barclays and exchange it for money. You'll see why they're the Pawn Stars of Victoria. Barclays Exchange in Chinatown, 516 Fisgard.
Hey, it's Ryan Price. With everything from pipeline politics to summer heat waves, we're talking about the top stories in the afternoon on CFAX Plus News every 15 minutes.
Afternoons with Ryan Price on CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. You're listening to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority. We're just in our last segment now, and you know, we've been talking about tourism and taking the 50,000-foot view of the province, and now we're going to bring a little local, just a general discussion in terms of some of the things that we raised during the last 2 hours. And I'd like to focus a little bit on what's referred to as the legislature precinct or government center. We're talking about an often photographed building that we see on postcards, and it happens to be just across the street from the harbor that we just spent, you know, some time talking about in terms of its value and its challenges. And anyone who lives here, and I'm sure more than a few tourists, is struck by the fact that, you know, you just walk behind that building and, gee, it's just not all that pretty back there. We've got vacant lots, we've got huts, we've got whatever, and there's two aspects to this. There's you know, the role that a government center can play as a tourism attraction, and then as part of any, you know, plan for the harbor, you know, you have to think, well, the precinct's part of that, is a pretty key part of that, but there's also the other side of it that there are development opportunities here. Government employees are a very important economic driver in this city. It would be great to be able to house them all and house them well. It would also present us as a city and a province to people who visit here very well if we just had a pleasant place where our government is. John?
Oh, Bob. Okay. Bob. Why do I have to be the guy? So if the legislative precinct was sitting in the middle of Vancouver, surrounded by Liberal MLAs, there would be more than enough money found to help make this happen. Mm-hmm. We have a conference center. We have the Crystal Gardens, both being operated by the City of Victoria and struggling with that operating costs. We, as you identified, we have huts behind the legislature. We have the entryway to U.S. visitation coming to what's essentially an empty parking lot on Belleville Terminal. Come on. It's too bad we didn't have some NDP MLAs today because, frankly, if they're going to form government, we need to find out what they're going to do about the legislative precinct.
Yeah, I should add that, you know, we did invite the New Democrat tourism critic and asked if any of the local MLAs would be available. And unfortunately, they're all busy this morning. But one does have to sort of question, well, I mean, is this, you know, you've raised the issue. I mean, is it just the fact that people here tend to vote for the New Democrats? And does that mean if the government changes and we have a New Democrat government come next spring, whether or not we can get some engagement with the provincial government on this issue? And if so, how long that window will stay open? Because, you know, a fact about BC politics is that governments do not get reelected in Victoria.
Well, I think we're trying to establish a theme of not sitting here asking government for money to solve our problems. Mm-hmm. Would a NDP government surrounded, a legislative precinct surrounded with NDP MLAs help the situation? I think so. But maybe I can start to engage a little bit more with Rob around, let's ask, what can we do now as businesses? How can we help Tourism Victoria? How can the various organizations that are not government help this situation? Mm-hmm. How can we present a vision, to Curtis's point, about making some of these legislative precinct properties work and sing and provide value for the tourism industry?
18 questions in there because they're all related.
Okay, well, I'm sure you'll be able to put them together.
I'm going to answer each one of them. How much time do we have? You know, I think the theme that we have to make sure we know what we want first is really important. And I know Curtis is having some pretty good conversations, as am I, with our key ferry operators down in the Inner Harbor. And they are becoming crystal as to what they want to see. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to engage businesses unless businesses know what we're engaging them in. Tourism Victoria as an entity has about 700 or so members. We know statistically, and I think the chamber is not different in that regard, that there's really only about 15 to 20% that are actively engaged on a regular basis. We'd like to see that get bigger and bigger and bigger around what we need to get done so that, again, we have that collective holding hands going forward. That united piece is just, you know, we talk about it so much, but we just don't live it because we get busy. You know, we have our own lives, our own small businesses to run. But if there is a holistic look to what can be done that will benefit all businesses, that's what really matters. But I had a question for you as a relatively newbie person to Victoria. We've had NDP governments before in Victoria. And was there that kind of engagement with an NDP government around development? It sounds like around material or product development or infrastructure development. Mm-hmm. And if so, what would that look like? And if not, why would we expect, if they should become in power, get in power, why would you expect that to be different?
Back, at least during Glenn Clark's era, I was a young man. You know, I was still in high school.
You still are.
Good Lord.
Not in high school. I mean, that would be unfortunate, but you're still a young man.
I can't speak directly to that. I was busy building businesses and not as much involved in the community. Mm-hmm. However, I have been very much involved with what it looks like from the Liberal side, and I know that the political variable in this equation is probably one of the most important pieces to solving the problem. Mm-hmm. I would have to think, therefore, that if the tides were turned, that the political equation, that variable would still be very important.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the fact that we need to present solutions. We need to present practical applications to helping whatever government is sitting in there solve these problems. And that's where I'm coming from, and that's where I want to be in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I agree with you. And I think that if you try to define political will in this time frame, political will to me means presenting something that has a true economic value that fits within the parameters of current government priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just about this attraction or this facility is going to be good for business. It's got to fit into where the government needs to go. And I think we all understand that, but we obviously have a lot more work to do.
One doesn't have to have a political science degree to understand that if – the body of MLAs that form your government are not in your region, that's the way it works. Federally, we know it works that way. If we have government and we elect NDP MLAs locally, business should work actively with towards finding solutions and working towards a vision of helping our industry here. It just makes sense for business to think that way and strategically to think that way.
Well, you see, and that's an interesting point, which opens another big can of worms we need not get into. But, you know, in this province, I always hear all people saying, well, the NDP, they don't know how to work with business, and or people saying, go work with business, you know, or learn how to work with business and everything else like that. What I hear you saying, and I think, you know, this needs to be said more and more, business has to understand that they have to work with everybody. And they have to work with government, and they have to figure out how to do it. And if we look at a new government coming in, well, what their priorities are going to be and what their plan's going to be, one thing we know for sure is that they are going to be fiscally challenged. And and if it's a new Democrat government, they're going to be very sensitive to, I think, or are going to have to be very sensitive to being fiscally responsible, because, you know, that's their political Achilles heel. And, you know, everyone will start talking about the 90s and what they did in the 90s and how they, you know, ran the province into deficit and debt and the fudget budget and everything else. So it really comes to business getting its act together, as you said, Rob, coming up with the solution rather than asking government to solve it, taking to government of whatever stripe it is the solution. And they should be actually, you know, they should be doing that now. One thing that could be going on with the new Democrats, if we're going to talk about this local issue, the specific issue, is that business should be engaging new Democrats and saying, okay, you know, here's what we're going to want to do. This is what we'd like to do. What's the process for doing that? I mean, Rob, you asked a great question of the minister. You said, how do I get your attention? Mm-hmm. What's the best way to get your attention? And business needs to ask that question of government and should be asking it of both parties. John?
Well, this thing about reflecting on what the NDP did in the 90s, to me, is ridiculous. Okay, so when I hear the Liberals talk about what Glenn Clark or the NDP did back then, I don't care. Guess what? In the 90s, we didn't have the internet. Guess what? In the 90s, we practically didn't even have cell phones. The world has changed. When we talk about business, let's define what that is. Business, small business, are people like you and I and those operators on Government Street and the whale watch businesses and folks that have families. These are folks that essentially do not care what government is there. They want to have a good life, and they want to meet their payroll, and they want to grow their businesses.
Well, gentlemen, I'm going to have to wrap it up there. Rob, I thank you for not only coming in for the first half hour, but staying with us and being part of the discussion. I thank Curtis Grad as well and the Honorable Ida Chong. And I guess I have to thank Mr. Jurisic for staying in the studio. And as always, I want to thank our producer, the digitally dexterous Corey Pokinghorn, and encourage you all to tune into Corey's own show called The Jam every Sunday at 6 p.m. I know I never miss it. You've been listening to Public Eye Radio on CFAX 1070. The news is next.